Penguin Random House Audio presents Paper Cage, a novel by Tom Baragwanath, read for you by Saskia Malaveld and Natalie Barron. For Noah. It's more rain than I've ever seen. All the summers, head in water coming down at once. The river's breached its banks, down past the netball courts, and there are eels. Slick black shapes lurking in the gutters. 30 years in Masterton, and that's a first for me. I'm almost at Sheena's, wading through the leafy mush covering the footpath, the warm wind grumbling at the edges of my poncho. It's only 15 minutes from the station, but I'm soaked down to my littlest toe. The rent money is dry, though. Sheena's landlord will come by Thursday, and we can't have last month again. I step over the deepest part of the gutter, half an eye out for stray river life, then through the space where Sheena's wooden gate used to be, before someone destroyed it a few parties back. I'm going slow, mostly by memory. The path is uneven under the soup of grass cuttings and branches, and the last thing my bad hip needs is another fall. Her awning's still intact, thank Christ. There's a light on inside. Beneath the steady thrum of water, the pulse of music. Sounds like UB40, enough to bring back the old shearing days and the oily feel of wool between my fingers. I always preferred Bob Marley, but he was a bit much for some of the blokes, especially the locals we had to partner up with out on the coast. The mere thought of a sweating brown body was unsettling enough for some of those guys, let alone having to listen to brown tunes. UB40. Was always a safer bet. Before I can knock, the door swings open. A wall of body in a black singlet blocks the hallway.
Lorraine?
Keith's got his shades on as usual, but I can tell he's taking me in. Those scarab ovals moving slowly over me.
None of your lot at the station thought to give you a lift, eh?
Your lot. These tiny demarcations, the daily lines drawn. Us and them. That and this. It's always there. In this place, anyway. I don't mind the walk. I look to the driveway, but his truck isn't there. One of the other patched guys must have dropped him around. But a rain won't kill me. I try for the smallest smile, but there's no point. His face is without expression, his mouth flat and waiting. I nod over his shoulder.
My niece about?
He shrugs. There's a break in the music, and a voice calls from the next room, hazy, but Keith keeps staring. I wonder how much of my last conversation with Sheena she passed on to him. For now, I keep my eyes on him. His fingers are dark with soil. An afternoon spent out back, probably, tending to the greens before the storm came in. There's a reason why Sheena's patch always yields more than mine. Auntie? A voice behind him. A hand coming up to rest against his shoulder. Love, it's fine. Really? It takes a few long moments, but eventually he turns away into the house. Sheena squeezes my arm, as if to reassure herself it's really me. Behind her, Keith's footsteps rattle the hall. You're bloody well soaked through. Time for a drink? Cup of tea or a quick gin? She shifts her hair out of her eyes, her fingers quick and shaking.
I'm okay, girl.
I go to reach inside my poncho for the money, but think better of it. Keith might be Bradley's dad and all, but he doesn't need to know every little thing. I smell it then. That musty waft between burnt sugar and vinegar. I get it whenever I walk past the evidence room at the station. All those shelves of scorched light bulbs and tiny plastic bags, stacked and numbered, waiting in the dark for court appearances. Sheena sees what my eyes are doing. It's not mine, she says. I nod her outside, and she follows me with a quick look over her shoulder. The two of us stand close inside the awning's dripping halo.
Is Bradley in there?
He's off running around. She looks down. I'm careful.
Careful? It's only 3 weeks since the Kingy girl went missing.
Don't tell me about careful. My arms come across my chest.
It's only a few towns over, Sheen. You don't think it could happen here?
She looks past me into the silver static. They're all together.
Hemi and them. They're just playing, Auntie. The cops said we had to...
I know what they bloody said.
I think of all those posters I printed downstairs in the station file room. Those stacks of pages, thin paper to keep costs down. The chief's always worried about that. It was tough going finding a decent photo of the missing girl, Precious Kingy. Her mum didn't have much on hand. In the end, we called Featherston Normal for last year's class shot, Precious right in the centre row with a wide smile, her ponytail nice and neat. Everyone looked happy to be there. Happier than I ever remember being, anyway. Even the teacher was beaming, tie flat against his chest, hands clasped at his front. And now think of her, disappeared on the way home one afternoon. Just gone, like someone snapped their fingers and carried the girl away into the sky. 3 weeks. Anything can happen in 3 weeks. Nobody's saying it, but the knowledge is there, tucked between our other words. Reports sent up the chain to Wellington, briefings to the papers. Nobody expects good news. You're coming on Saturday, right? Sheena sets her fingers on my elbow. I told Bradley you'd come.
I'll be there, girl.
I nod past her.
Just don't let Keith get too comfy, all right? Remember what we talked about.
Her eyes drop, scolded. Amazing how quickly we slip back into old patterns. It's a visit, Auntie, that's all. He's mostly out Castle Point ways now.
Mostly.
I lean forward with a kiss.
Saturday, then. I'll bake a cake.
I move back into the rain, and the door shutters closed behind me. In the gutter, a grey fin twists between the wheels of Keith's junked Ford, cooling through the water. With each step, more of the tension leaves my shoulders. My mind is on home, on a dry room. Patty will have let herself in from next door to get a pie in the oven, some buttered peas and mint, and a couple of strong gins for the Villa Wars semi-final on one. Our favourite couple made it to the last round, and we fancy their chances. Someone might be out snatching kids, but there are still renovation shows.
Look!
A childish squeal. Across the road, a clutch of thin bodies crouching behind a ute. Some in t-shirts dark with rain, some bare-chested and shining.
There!
A boy I recognize. Hemi Larkin, I think, points down into the gutter marsh, his mouth taut in an expectant O. A flat-cheeked girl steps forward and shoves a garden fork hard into the water. When she brings it up, there's a black rope twisting itself around the tines, the eel's mouth open and tasting the air. The other kids all whoop and slap at each other as she holds the eel high, a long-limbed Neptune with her fishy mascot. Despite all the commotion, they see me. Even now, my hair grayer than I care to notice, body more like a marrow each year. Children see me. I might be invisible everywhere else, but not to them. Kids notice everything.
You've got 'em, love,
I call across the street.
But what's the plan now, eh?
There's a detonation of glee in the girl's eyes.
How's about we ram it up your hole, lady?
The kids all fold into each other with delight, moving as a single animal. Maybe Sheena's right. In a group, they have each other. The girl jiggles the eel in my direction. I see Bradley with them now, clutching a supermarket bag, alive with thrashing shapes. He gives me the tiniest wave, undetectable to the others, and smiles just to me. Then, with quick hands, he grips the eel by the head and slides it off the fork, knocking it again and again into the bonnet of the parked ute as the others watch. A stock truck clatters past through the water, its steel belly tight with the last summer lambs on their way to the knife, wheels sending little waves out across the street. When it passes, the kids are gone, eel and all. Vanished into new mischief, with a flash of a limb around the corner, and a last shout before the rain replaces them. Home, then. I shift myself forward, my hip giving me just the smallest twinge, but nothing unmanageable. Ducking between cars, I step across the road on the way to Ricketts Circle, my mind on the glow of bad television and easy company. There's a wet screeching behind me, and I start to turn, and my heart leaps as a vehicle roars and brakes and shudders in a wall of spray. A station wagon, apple red, its wipers working overtime.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?